time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Who are the Calgary Flames? A cup contender or a massive failure? Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. Kyle, how is your day going so far?
Not bad. I mean, actually, I was thinking this earlier. I'm kind of enjoying this break from the Flames.
Are you?
A little, just because I think they need it. So we'll get into that, obviously. But,
I do too. It's a weird, we are in the middle of this, CBA / All-Star break, 9 days off. I liked it the first couple days. I'm not going to lie. I did. I felt like we needed a break, and I felt like I freaking needed a break.
It's hurting the head, eh?
Yeah.
It's been how's your day going? Anyway, I didn't even ask you.
It's good. It's good. It's good. I feel like, do you feel like this break's going on forever, though? Like, I could use a game tonight. I could use a game tonight.
Like, I'm about due at this point, but it's again, just because the way the team's been all year, I think they need it. And I saw a bunch of social media pictures, of course, the guys are a bunch of them in the Caribbean or wherever they are. And it's like, I'm kind of like, good for them to step away. That's probably healthy for the mindset coming back. But when they come back, like, what's the stat this year? We haven't won more than three games in a row. Is that right?
We have not won more than three games in a row.
That's crazy.
No. We did to start the year.
Forever ago, so
since then
I gotta come out of this break and rattle off a few. But yeah, I'm just, to your point, I'm kind of like, I could definitely take a game at this point, but I'm okay waiting until Monday.
So I see these pictures of the guys in the Caribbean having a fun time, and I'm jealous. But do you think it's a good sign? I mean, I do, I do. I'll preface my statement by saying I like it. I like that our team goes and does stuff together when they don't have to.
Yeah, well, and that's been the case for the last little while with this group, that they're really close knit, which I think is awesome, because I know some people like would shit on them for you know being on a beach somewhere and drinking and doing whatever they're doing, but I mean, I think it's healthy. I mean, this whole mentality, and Sutter's been kind of criticized this before about just your life being hockey, like, doesn't work for any of us, right? This is a job for them, and they need to do a better job of it. But stepping away, it's no different than you or I taking a vacation, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I don't know. It looks like they're having a blast. It looks like, I don't know. I think it's good when teams do stuff together. I understand some of them, obviously you're going to get the guys that don't have kids all off together, and you know, I'm sure the ones that have kids are at Disney World or making the most of the time with their kids because they're away from them so much during the season. But it's fun to see that.
Absolutely.
I like it. One problem I've had during this break though, is I watch a lot of hockey at night. Once I get everything settled in my life, I sit down and I watch hockey because that's all I do. But if this week I've had a struggle. There hasn't been many games. I watched the Kings play the other night. Who the heck were they even playing? It was a great game. Oh no, Carolina and the Kings. I watched. Carolina came back and won it in overtime, which was a freaking great, because we need that point big time. But I was just, that was a good game, but that's really the only game I've watched all week. And I've had to watch some shows on TV at night that I was like, what am I doing watching this? And I'm not a big TV guy. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either, a little more so than I used to be in terms of certain series or shows, whatever. But generally, it's hockey for me and very little other sports. But I watched a bit of the Bruins and Leafs last night, and that was pretty good back and forth tilt, so for a bit anyway. But it's different when it's, I think it's really good, actually, to watch teams that you're not a fan of. Yeah. It gives you a better appreciation for the sport. You can kind of see what your team's maybe missing. You can see how they stack up potentially against other teams. So I think it's good, but the CBA mandated break, it's still an adjustment. As much as I say I enjoyed it, it's still, like, it's weird, right?
I don't even think the players like it. I really don't. I would love to ask that question to 100 players and just take a survey, and an anonymous survey. I would bet most of them would say, no, let's just get the season done.
Yeah, I mean, the COVID break last year obviously seemed to do wonders for the Flames, so the hope is obviously that this will do something similar. But yeah, that lack of continuity, that stepping away, I think can also be an issue. It's like, okay, off mini off season, like a week is over, let's get back at it.
And yeah, We'll see how they come out of it. Today we got a lot to talk about on the show. Two games to discuss: the Blackhawks disaster. We will cruise through that, and the Kraken game, which I thought was kind of a, I don't know, am I going too far saying that was kind of a masterpiece for the Flames? And we'll roll on, discuss some Flames news, some call ups, Wranglers injuries, Shillington. Flames fans get their wish. Peltier to the second line. We definitely got to talk about that because Kyle and I were talking a lot about that in the weeks prior. The big question, who are the Calgary Flames? You know, I look at this team at the All-Star break, and I don't know, we could be a cup contender and we can miss the playoffs. So we're going to talk a little bit about where we think the Flames are and who we think the Flames are. And then we'll wrap with an All-Star preview, a preview of the one game coming up at Madison Square Garden in New York on Monday night. Jam-packed show, Flames Unfiltered. All right, Kyle. Two games to recap. We'll quickly go through those. The Blackhawks game. Whew, that was a disaster.
Let me take the lead on this one, if I may.
Yes, please do.
Disaster is probably the best word to sum that up. But how were you feeling, watching and thinking about that game afterwards? Like, because for me, I don't know that I've been more frustrated at any point this year.
I was more frustrated for some reason. I don't know why. In that Blues game earlier this year. That one pissed me off. This one, this pissed me off in the fact that I felt like this was a stepping stone game to turn in the right direction before we went into this break. And, you know, Markstrom's in net and he gets beat short side for the first one. And I was like, damn it. Is this ever going to end? Like, are we, is this one goal a night BS ever going to end with him? And I love Markstrom and I'm a huge fan and I do think he'll get it back together. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. But at this point right now, when points are at a premium, we just have to ride Vladar. We just have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the one, you know, collecting the, obviously, lion's share of the points for the team. But I also think that the times they have leaned on Vladar, which has always been very incremental, a couple games maybe, they got to do it longer. Not just because Vladar has been better, but because I think Markstrom resetting his game is not happening with these, you know, two or maybe, I don't think this has happened, but like three game breaks for him. Like basically, unless you have a back to back, I think he's got to basically ride the pine for a week, you know, see what you have in Vladar in terms of starting potential, but also get Markstrom just to step back a bit because he's not turning his game around to this point.
No, I think we'll see a little, maybe. I wouldn't mind getting Markstrom in pretty quickly after the break to see where he's at. Because this hopefully is a reset. So,
but what a game to fall flat on your face! I mean, that was horrendous. Two losses to the Blackhawks in, you know, just over a week. Like it was. There's just no. I mean, and they always say, you know, a lot of times good teams will lose to bottom feeding teams. There's a lot of parity in the league. You make it all excuses you want, but that was just abysmal. Ugh.
The Huberdeau goal was a highlight reel goal. That was a.
Oh yeah.
That was an amazing goal. But then Chicago scores three straight in the third. And I don't know, and I'm gonna be pretty critical of this guy in this episode. Noah Hanifin was god awful. And I don't even know. It was just a bad, bad game. And then the very next night, the team is on a plane heading to Seattle that night after the game and they play Friday night. And I agree. Everybody talked about after the Blackhawks game, hey, they'll be so much better tomorrow night against the Kraken. Well, I don't know how that couldn't be a true statement because I don't think you could be that bad again, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Although they were pretty good in Seattle. Vladar gets the start. Tanev out again. Gilbert was in. He does fine. I think he does fine.
He's a pretty good depth option. I didn't know what to make of him, you know, in training camp and the first game or so that he came up. But yeah, spot duty. He does just fine. I don't think you can ask much more than what he's done.
Second night of a back-to-back, which that used to scare me, does not scare me with this team for some reason. I feel like we're good on the second night of a back-to-back. I should look up our
record. Happened for quite some time, yeah.
But yeah. We have, I feel like we've been good. Seattle scores first, big shocker. And then Calgary rolls off three, and I thought just an all-around, as close to a 60-minute game as we've had all year.
Yeah, I would say so. And I mean, against a team that has a surprisingly, a lot of scoring depth, really strong team game, a good transition game. So I don't really think you could ask for a much better performance than what they put out. And I think it's really important to have a statement game like that going on the break. Like, you know, we're not as bad as we looked against the Blackhawks last night. That's how I took it anyway. But, yeah, it was – the game was much more tilted in Calgary's favor than I would have expected. I wasn't shocked they won, as you said, about being good in back-to-backs, but they really controlled that game quite well.
And I can't believe we're saying this. We're sitting here saying how good a Kraken team has been this year, but they have been. They truly have been. We can't leave out the fact that Matty Beniers did not play. And
that's a good point, yeah.
He's been a dynamic rookie for them, and just, I don't know, he's been the one rookie this year that I've watched and thought, holy cow, that guy's a very impressive player. But all in all, a good game. Flames come out with a 5-2 win, and they head into break. The question is now, heading into break, we kind of got our wish. Kyle, we got our wish. Yep. Jacob Peltier moves up to the second line in the... It was in the Blackhawks game we saw him move up from the fourth to the third, and then played a couple shifts on the second line, and then Seattle game, he gets the slot we've all in Calgary been wanting, next to Kadri and Huberto. And all in all, I thought it's been pretty good.
Very good. Puck goes in the right direction every time he's on the ice. His shot volume's been good. Where he's shooting from's been good. I mean, the points are going to come very shortly for him. Still a bit of an unknown, I think, what he's going to be, but he was looked very, very good alongside those two. Very good.
So Daryl Sutter has probably his best and longest press conference the morning of the Seattle game.
Yep.
And I don't know. I was traveling that day, and I listened to it in my hotel room, and I thought, holy cow. Okay. I just felt more comfortable after it. He talked just in a much more calming about the whole team and not just the prospects. But he had a lot of good things to say about Jacob Peltier and Walker Duehr. And
yep. Thankfully.
Okay, what do you think the reasoning behind that conference was? Because I know everything Daryl Sutter says is, I don't know if predetermined is the right word, but you know what I'm getting at. It's well thought out.
Yeah, obviously I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit of not pressure from management, but maybe a talking to about, I know he's just trying to troll, I believe he's trying to just troll the media, some of his comments.
I think so too. Things. I don't think he's trying to piss his players off. I think he probably goes into the room and says, don't listen to a thing I say on this. I'm just trying to calm stir the
water. Yeah, then you have ex-players like Mike McKenna will chime in, and no disrespect intended to those guys, but they always chime in and say, oh, players don't like this, or players don't like that, or I played for Daryl in this, and it's like, okay, you know, it was years ago, different team, different personnel. Like, I don't want to assume anything about it, but I think it was only a matter of time before Daryl had a press conference where he was much more honest and transparent about how he actually sees these players. So that whole thing with Peltier after his first game was... It was ridiculous regardless of intent. It just didn't come across right at all. And I think he was either asked or realized that, you know what, I owe it to these guys to be a little more fair to them in my public assessment of them.
I think he might even did some reflecting after that one and thought, yeah, why am I playing the game so much?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he kind of gets goaded into it because he's one of those guys that likes to play with the media, right? But there's a line there that, it might sound kind of heavy-handed to say a line, but yeah, he kind of crossed it a bit, and it's like, you know, just reel yourself in. Just don't say anything at all if you don't want to talk about it, right?
Those comments.
Just say, I thought he was okay. You know, leave it at something simple like that.
Yeah, that good.
What number was he?
That pissed me off.
Yeah, pissed a lot of people off.
It did. But I kind of take what he says in his pressers with a grain of salt, too, in the fact that, like, I've heard, and I have a hard time believing that he's that way in the locker room because you hear so many ex-players say that they have a ton of respect for him.
Yep. And there's some who have, you know, I think Dan Carcillo comes to mind, who has a history with certain coaches and has had some issues with them, and I think he's mentioned Daryl Sutter, but I don't know if if that's more just in line with what he's experienced with other coaches, and he felt Daryl kind of fit that vein, or maybe he didn't quite so much, or maybe Daryl's just, you know, evolved as a person, as we all do, and has kind of calmed down over the years, however you want to look at it. But
well, I think Daryl Sutter's an honest person, and I think some people in this world can't handle hearing honest thoughts.
Well, you know what? I like his honesty for the most part. I don't like John Tortorella's. I think he's just a flagrant douchebag with a lot of things that he says, because he's just disrespectful to the media, and they have a job to do. Like, I don't find Sutter's anywhere near quite like that, but I think he does a decent job generally of riding the line between being accessible to people and giving honest assessments, but also trying to keep things behind closed doors and you know, making jokes at certain people's expense just to kind of play with the media. So there's a line there that he actually sometimes, like I said, he steps over, but generally does a pretty good job.
I would agree with that. Where do we go with this line? Does this line stick coming out of the break?
Huberto, Kadri, and Pelche?
Yeah.
It hasn't really gotten any road yet as far as I'm concerned. What are your thoughts on it?
I hope it does. I mean, I'm not...
What's the alternative? Okay. You don't want to go back to Lucic.
I'm a little bit more low-key about the prospects than you are. I think that's one of our differences, and maybe one of the things we somewhat butt heads on. But yeah. I'm also, I will admit, I like how he's slotted in. Do I think he's a top six winger right at the moment? Probably not, but I don't think Dylan Dubé is a top line winger either. So, and I, when I look at our lines, I don't really look at our lines as 1, 2, 3, 4 really either. I look at them kind of 1, 2 and then 3, 4. But our third line has actually probably been our best all-in-all line.
They're the best lines in the league.
But they fit a role. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think he fits there. I like what I've seen so far. To be honest with you, he's been better than I expected. How about that?
For someone who feels as you do about, versus how I feel, I should say, about prospects, I think that's a pretty positive thing to say.
To be honest with you, I'm excited to watch him. I'm excited.
Yeah. Like, well, that's part of evaluating young players, right?
I think, okay, and I'm not ripping the Calgary market. I'm part of it. But here's one thing that I see, though. I see Canadian markets especially get, like, over-pumped for their prospects. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be excited for our prospects. Hell yeah, we should. But we get this notion in our head that the prospect's going to show up and it's going to be wham, bam, we got freaking 2 points every single night out of him and he's a stud and everything's going to be great. And I don't think that's the expectations we should have, because I think we sour a lot of good players with those crazy fan expectations. So
the only players that are worthy of that expectation, not, you shouldn't say worthy of, but who are going to hit those expectations are, like, guaranteed, are guys like Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard when he comes into the league. Like, Alex Lafreniere was figured to set the world on fire too in New York when he came to the league, and he hasn't done that.
No.
And now, you know, there's talk about him maybe move somewhere else for a fresh start. Like, there's so few guarantees, but you're 100% right. Any Canadian market, like, there's just so, well, there's two issues. One is, in my opinion, the guys don't get called up soon enough to give them a chance just to get a few shifts in, a cup of coffee, as they call it in the league. And then on the flip side is all the pressure of, oh, you got to call them up, like when we talked about Matthew Phillips. Like, it's really hard to balance that, especially in a market that is just so, in Calgary in particular, actually so starved for prospects getting legitimate playing time. Like, we talked before about Sven Berchi when he had 3 goals in 5 games. Like, everybody's losing their minds, and now he's, I don't know, playing in the Swiss League or something.
Yeah. You know, and it's not that I don't want prospects to succeed. Hell, we need prospects to succeed. I just think that, and you just touched on it, we've had so many years. Like, think about our draft. If you look back to our drafts all the way to the early 90s, we have not, as a franchise, drafted particularly well. And honestly,
terribly in a lot of cases.
Our draft picks that have actually worked well have been in recent history. Mahjupani, I mean, it's been
Anderson.
In recent history that we've had good ones. I mean, we have
the most successful pick, sorry to cut you off there, but the most successful pick, apart from the guys that we just mentioned, Mahjupani, Anderson, Shillington, obviously, Gaudreau, where he's gone now, you'd have to go back as far as, like, Michael Backlund in 2007 for a guy who was, like, a legitimate, you know, top nine great. He's, I was looking at his stats the other day about how the guy is like a dead ringer for the Selke right now. If you look at defensive metrics, like he's unreal. But all the guys, like remember guys like Eric Nystrom and guys like who carved out a place in the league, you know, had a role to play for a few years, but were never, like they were drafted way too high or mismanaged. I mean, then you go further back than that, like I said, you think about who'd we have in the 90s. Derek Morris was a really good defenseman. Denny Gauthier had a really good career, but they're so.
Remember, Nicholas like Sundblad, Rico Fatta,
yeah, the fastest guy to ever put on a pair of skates. Right?
I mean, we had a lot of guys. It's like
Daniel Kachuk.
Yeah,
all these old St. John Flames, an hour and a half from my house. Right, I mean, I grew up on those guys, and but yeah, they were so terrible drafting, and right up through the Daryl Sutter as a GM era, like. It was always loading the team with as many veteran bodies as you could get and suppressing, you know, young players. So, yeah, the team's traditionally been terrible at drafting, developing.
I don't know. I look at our prospect pool right now, and quite honestly, I think we got a few good ones, you know, but I wouldn't say we have a ton of good ones. So I think it's good that Sutter's got these veterans in there. But like I said in last week's episode, we can't flood the market with so many veterans that are on one-way deals that we don't have any room to call people up because I think Pelche is, I don't know, from me who had, I don't want to say low expectations. I had probably realistic expectations. I think he's done pretty well and I'm excited to watch him. And I look forward to the team coming out of the break just to have that kind of that youth infusion. And I think, you know, I think maybe we're also overlooking the impact that Walker Duehr's had.
I can't think about that 5-hole goal that he scored. What a great shot that was.
Yeah.
And again, he's a guy like, I keep liking him to Gardner Hathaway, but I mean, he looks like a guy that can play regularly in the NHL. And I'm thinking now after your comment just now about going back to 08-09, I think before they get into the playoffs against Chicago, they had to dress like 16 or 17 skaters because the cap, they couldn't fit any more in. Like, it was just, like, you really want to avoid that when you overload the bottom half of your roster with guys on one-way deals, older players, the Trevor Lewis's of the world, who are fine, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
When you do that, I mean, when's the last team that did that, that won a cup, that didn't, you know, infuse some good young players into the lineup, right?
LA Kings. No,
Yeah, well, we're going back quite a ways, too, but you're not wrong with that. But, I mean, even you go back as far as, you know, Colorado in the early 2000s, and they had guys like Adam Dedmarsh, Alex Tanguay, Chris Drury. Like, they good teams always seem to fit in those younger players into specific roles, not necessarily a top six role, but.
I mean, you can rewind just in Flames history. In 89, when we won the cup, we infused a young Theo Fleury that year who found a role and put up points and was, when you look at the playoff run, could you be any more integral to it? I mean, some big goals from a young player. So. I agree. I think it's really important. And in today's cap world, you can only have so much dollars. We're going to need some of these prospects that are making this league minimums to be successful for this team to win.
And if you have injuries too, right?
Yeah.
You know, if Trevor Lewis gets hurt, you know, God forbid, or Lucic or anybody on that roster and in the bottom half of the roster, you have to have guys who are capable of stepping in. If they never played a game in the league, well, that's a lot more precarious to insert them than if, okay, he's been here and played 10 games. You know, it's not the end of the world. We're going to plug him in and let him go.
Yeah. I've had so many people over this break ask me, like, who are the Flames? Like, what are we going to see from them coming out of the break? And I've had a hard time, to be honest with you, answering it because I look at this team and I think we really could be, and I know people are probably going to give me hate mail for this, but I do believe we could be a cup contender. But I also feel like we could miss the playoffs, and that's scary, but it's the scary truth. And there's a lot of questions as we come out of break, that really have me kind of intrigued on where this team goes.
Well, yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, I mentioned, I think, on the show before, but like the Bruins just destroying the league for the most part. But the reality is that a lot of these teams cool off leading into the playoffs or coming into, you know, a playoff round, and that could happen to them. We've seen it 100 times. Mm-hmm. You know, Calgary in past renditions of the team, they've got hot at the wrong time, so to speak. I mean, it's good to have a big winning streak to get you into the playoffs, but you go in there cold and you're not going to get very far. So maybe this is where I agree with your point about they could actually be a cup contender if they get hot at the right time, but at the same time, they have so many stops and starts in their game all year. Like, it could absolutely go either way. To me, it's a total coin toss. I don't think they creep in and go out in the first round. I think they creep in or make it somewhat comfortably and have a decent run, or they miss.
Right now, as we're on break, the Flames are currently on the outside looking in. They're in the third spot in the wild card race. So Colorado and Edmonton hold those spots. They are tied with Colorado in points, but have played two more games than Colorado. So, and in win percentage, we're out too. So, but we're right there. I look at the Pacific Division and I see Seattle leads it with 63. LA is right there with 63. Now LA has played three more games than everybody, four more than Seattle. That's not going to help them. Vegas is suddenly injured and beat up, and who knows what's happening with them. And they're 2-6-2 in their last 10, heading downwards. The Flames are literally, we're 6 points from first place.
Yeah, which is a lot of ground to make up, but still not a crazy distance at all.
I don't think it's crazy at all. And then I look at the schedule, and according to Money Puck, we're the second easiest schedule down the stretch. I've looked at it. I've studied it. I like the schedule. There's a lot of four games in 1 week thing, but...
But does that not worry you, though, too, knowing this is a team that face-planted twice against a team like the Blackhawks?
Yeah, but... Okay, yes, it does. But Kyle, on the flip side of this, though, if I showed you a schedule that was had a bunch of Avalanche games, Winnipeg Jets games... you'd be like, oh crap, I don't want to take, you'd take this schedule over that one. No, even with our history.
And that's fair too, because like the team, those stronger teams are going to be stronger after the All-Star break, because that's how they're built. That's what they've traditionally done. I think there's a lot to be said about that. I mean, even teams like Seattle, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be that good after the break, because this is so new to them. And of course, you know, missing Matty Beniers like they did, they could regress a bit.
I was listening to a couple radio shows yesterday or the day before. I can't even remember. But they were talking about Seattle, and they were talking about their shooting percentage, and they were talking about all these metrics that are like...
Is it crazy high, the shooting percentage?
Oh, it's ridiculously high.
And, yeah, see, that's gonna regress to some extent anyway.
And there's just so many metrics that are working against them in the final 20. So, or in the final 30, excuse me. So, I mean, we can roll the dice however you want to roll it and find the good in every story. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, it's in the hands of the Flames. And I believe we could finish first, and I believe in our division, I believe we could finish out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that I like and a couple things that concern me heading out. The goaltending is one of them. We're the only team through 50 games to not have a shutout this year, which...
Yeah, we've talked about that. It's still just
mind-boggling.
Yep.
Dan Vladar is 10-0-3 in his last 13 appearances, which is it ties the club record for the longest point streak of a goaltender.
Mike Vernon, and was it Brian Elliott?
Yeah,
Brian Elliott. Unbelievable. What a cool stat. Good for him.
You know, that's a really cool stat. It is. And you know, we hear so many people say, well, you know, they're just not giving Markstrom the run support. They're not giving him the run support. And I agree, they're not. But you know what? You call it whatever you want. I don't really know what it is or why it is, or I believe it's dumb luck. I don't think they're not playing hard for Markstrom. I don't believe that at all. I'll tell you, I think it's just the way the ball's bouncing this year. And you ride it. Damn it, I don't care why it is. You ride it.
Well, and also, I don't really buy much into the players giving a damn or playing differently depending on who the goaltender is, unless it's like a rookie goaltender. Like, the Flames have two good goaltenders, so, you know, the whole talk about run support, to me, like, I don't think there's any meaning behind that. I just think Vladar has made, you know, more high danger saves than maybe Markstrom has, and has been generally more consistent. So I don't think that's a reflection of the team's play. I think it's on the player. Markstrom himself has said he hasn't been very good. So
I just think, I mean, Markstrom's had some stages where he has been decent. But then
he made a couple highlight reel saves this year, and he's had a few games where he was excellent, but his consistency has not been there, which is why I'm advocating for that he sits a little bit more down the stretch.
He's letting in one a night that he wants back, and I think he'd admit that. And that's not a recipe for success. Now, I'm interested to see how this break affects him, probably more than any other player on this team. And
yeah, well, he needs a reset more than anybody else. I mean, the only other one that's of any significant interest to me in terms of how they come back is a different situation, which is Chris Tanev and his injury.
Me too.
Because that's a huge factor going into what we may do with the trade deadline, or, you know, how the defensive pairings are going to look. So, which I guess in a way, that's kind of a nice segue into the whole Oliver Shillington situation, because I don't think he's coming back at this point.
I do not think Oliver Shillington's coming back. I don't know why.
Nobody, and that's the thing, nobody knows. And I've seen a few tweets and a few, flame sites talk about it, and nobody under the sun, other than likely the team and Oliver Shillington and his probably friends and family, have any idea what the situation is. But now that we're 30-ish games left, it's like, I just don't see him coming back this year.
And what's he going to come back like?
Well, that's the other question, right? What's his conditioning like? Has he been skating? Do we know any of that? I mean, no. I don't think so.
And I did hear he was skating. Frank Saravelli, who I trust him for the most part, I built a lot of confidence in things he reports. And he said he's been skating. Now, I don't know how he knows that, but he said he's been skating. But at this point, okay, we can't lose sight of this. Okay, Shillington was really good for us last year. But we can't lose sight that we did not have him penciled in as a roster spot last year. He was going to be a washed-up flame that hit the road, honestly. We all believed that at camp last year.
Oh, I remember everybody thought that Valimaki was going to be the one that makes the team,
Shillington stepped up, played, and had a wonderful year last year. And about a year ago right now, he went into the boards awkwardly in Minnesota. I don't know if you remember that.
And it was really bad,
And I thought, oh, my gosh, we just lost one of our best defensemen. And thank goodness he didn't even, I don't believe he even missed a game. But like, that's how important he became.
He missed some games later. I don't know if they were related to that. But, yeah, he's in rough shape.
I agree with you. I don't think he'll be back, so I think we need to plan. And they said that they were giving him through the month and that a determination would be made. So I expect as we come back from break, we will have a lot more clarity on Shillington. And we both wish him the best. And I'm not.
Yeah, the human side is a lot more important than the hockey side. Whatever the situation is, and there's always rumors and rumblings, whatever it is, whether he comes back or he doesn't, is absolutely secondary to whatever's going on in his life.
On the flip side of that, though, we do need to look out for the team professionally, too.
It's like anything else. If you or I left our job tomorrow or we're injured or whatever may happen, I mean, you got to replace by committee or find somebody to fill that void for some length of time. And his mobility, his offensive skill, his skating are very, very sorely missed in my mind. So you're not going to replace that with any player on the market that I'm aware of at this point. But, you know, that's a discussion a little further down the road.
And as for the Tanev injury, that probably is probably what I'm most scared of coming out of the break.
Absolutely, as it should be.
Yeah. They're saying it's not related to his other shoulder injury, and they're saying that he will be day-to-day coming out of the break. I don't know. I'm almost to the point right now. It's funny because when we got Tanev, one of my Canucks friends, of course, just self-justifying, said, oh, you can have him. He's injured all the time. And then he went on a run with Calgary and really had little to no injuries until late in the season last year.
Yep.
And this year, I don't know. I just, when I saw him go down, I'm like, oh no. And I just, I didn't have good feelings and I don't right now.
No, and I don't think any of us do. I don't want to see a situation like the playoffs last year where he got pressed into action when he absolutely should not have been playing. So I would sooner look for a short-term band-aid solution to try and get this team into the playoffs if he's going to be out long-term, as opposed to sending out a 50% healthy Chris Tanev, because not just for the team's sake, but for his own sake. Like, there's still that hockey culture that makes you, oh, be a tough guy and push through injuries. Don't do that. It's stupid. It's really stupid.
I couldn't agree more. So, coming out of break, what would you do with the forward lines? What if you were Daryl Sutter, what would you do?
And Peltier stays where he is for now, because we're still in the evaluation period there. The third line is amongst the best in the league.
Yep.
And then I think Lucic, so what Lewis, do you do fourth line?
Is that what you do with the fourth line?
Well, I mean, I'm still an advocate of taking Lucic out a bit down the stretch because I think he's more effective when he gets some rest. But that's how I'm looking at it right now.
What would you say if I said this is who I have penciled in for my fourth line? If I was making the roster for Monday night, I'd have Lewis centering Dewar and Richie.
Because Richie's healthy now, isn't he? He's
healthy now. He should be back.
I know he was skating, so he's an option. He's had a pretty decent year, so.
He's off IR.
I'd be cool with that as well. I'm also a fan at times of Adam Rzyczka, but he's so inconsistent and not engaged in the play enough at times, which has always been the knock against him, that there's a spot for him there, second power play time for him, I think. But to this point, I don't see that he hasn't shown enough game in, game out. And I know he's frustrated the hell out of you at times.
I love his talent. Pisses me off because I think he's got all the talent in the world. But I don't see a want. And I think, I don't know how you create a want. I don't think you can create a want.
If any coach can, I think it would be Daryl Sutter. Yeah, but I mean,
we've went through this. He got his shot. For gosh sakes, he was playing in the top two lines. He was in the second line for a while. Like, if that isn't motivation, I don't know. I don't feel like this guy's ever getting over the hump. God, I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
But I do too, and I mean, I'm on the fence about it as well. But I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. So, me and you had a little discussion about who we think has been our best players and who's been our worst players so far. Yeah. And I'm interested to see what you think on this topic. And who do you think have been our best players?
Rasmus Anderson.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Yeah, no question. It's funny, I thought about this, but as we talk and I think more about it, I'm like, Elias Lindholm, for sure.
Yeah.
I almost said Kadri, but he's kind of what we expected.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't put him in our, I put him in the...
Yeah,
the
yeah he's right where he should be. I would say probably it's a Foley with honorable mention to Dan Vladar.
I put Anderson, which was a no-brainer. I put Toffoli, which I thought was a no-brainer. And I put Coleman. And the reason I put Coleman is because he's playing the role that I want him to play perfectly.
Yeah, and doing it very well.
Perfectly. Yeah. So I got
him. He's a really underrated player. He doesn't get the credit that I think he deserves at all. Now, on the flip side, and we'll start with you to switch the order here, but your biggest disappointments, what do you got?
Markstrom would be number one.
That's a no-brainer, yeah.
I hate doing this because I think his expectations were overinflated by everybody, but I still think Huberto is still on the list. I need a little more.
We all do. There's been talk of like nagging injuries and stuff with him this year, and they didn't always necessarily keep him out of the lineup. But yeah, he's definitely been disappointing. Definitely.
Yeah, I need a little more there. I also have Hanifin on the list.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put Hanifin on the list.
Right.
But he's a young defenseman still. He's played a ton of hockey.
He's been in the league since he was 18, and that's easy to overlook.
Consistency.
Easy to forget, I should say.
Consistency has just been a little, especially as of late. And I hope, when I wrote that one down, I'm like, ooh, am I recency biased in this guy?
Probably a little bit, but still. Well, he's definitely, definitely hasn't performed the way that the team would have hoped.
And of course I have Lucic on that just because, these are my honorable mentions. Lucic, but what did we expect? I had Dubé and Mažupani penciled in, but I have asterisks next to both because they are both headed in the right direction by a mile.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
No, I agree with that.
Do you have the same guys?
Markstrom for sure. That's an absolute no-brainer. And as we said, he would tell you that himself. Let's think. I do have Huberto, but again, with a bit of a caveat, like we just discussed. I mean, I don't feel it's entirely fair. I don't think it was realistic to expect a player to switch, basically switch coasts, leaders, switch conferences, and new coach, and that whole system, and a couple injuries, whatever. So he's on the list, but understandably so. Outside of that, because I go back and forth with a lot of these guys, but Mangiapane, he's been much better lately, but we really, really needed him to maintain his scoring pace from last year at the very least with, in light of the guys that left, and he just hasn't done that. And again, he's improving. The points are starting to come, but oh man, we could have used some of that in the first half.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited for the second half. Where do you think we need to be for points to be in a playoff spot?
The cutoff in the West, you mean?
Yeah.
Damn close to 100. I'm going to say 96.
I put 95 down.
Of course you did. You used to be able to do it around 90-ish.
Yeah.
And that was then, you know, then you get, I think 95 and up is the only way to do it now with any level of, well, even then it's not certain. I mean, a lot of teams are at 100 points, but yeah.
I do think this team gets in. I do. I think they get in.
I do too. I think they're too good not to, but in terms of what they do or how comfortably they get there, that's the debate, right?
But Kyle, like, look at this. So even, and maybe I'm just being over positive on this. What team would you fear? Like, as a first round opponent, what team would you fear the most? Or who would you think we couldn't beat? Because I think we could beat anybody.
I was on top of her tougher game than, yeah, but haven't seen a lot of that yet.
No, but we have the capability.
Nobody in the West that particularly scares me, although the Oilers are always a.
Probably the Oilers would scare me the most. I can't believe I'm not mentioning the Colorado Avalanche. I should be. They're a wagon.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they've had some injuries, though, too. I mean, they're obviously going to be up there, but in terms of, like we said last year, I would have thought that the Flames would have matched up decently against the Avalanche in the playoffs last year, and obviously that didn't happen, but that doesn't mean I think they would have beat them, because I don't, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the whole Battle of Alberta thing just freaks me out.
That totally freaks me out.
Yeah. And dating Oilers fans makes it tough.
Oh, I don't know how you do it. Calgary Wranglers have been good lately. They lead the league with 30 wins. They lead 62 points. They lead the league in 161 goals for, and they lead the league also in penalty kill too. So, man, oh man, that's good. That's good to see. And, let's just, keep moving.
There's a lot of good veterans on that team. I mean, when you think farm team, they go, prospects perform really well, which is true, but there's a lot of good veteran pro hockey players, the American League level on that team. And of course, Dustin Wolf is the best prospect, best goaltending prospect in the world right now. And I'll fight anybody to death on that one.
And I would too. I want to touch on one thing with Dustin Wolf before we move on into the preview next week. But, you see a lot of Twitter talk and social media talk, I guess would probably be the best way to put it, that people saying he's got to be on this team. He's got to be moved up onto this team.
Yeah.
Where do you lie on this?
Somebody had argued, it might have been Mike Gould, I can't remember now, but somebody had argued get him a few starts down the stretch, depending on where the team is in the playoff race. If they're not comfortably in or they're out, you know, get him in for a few games. And that's kind of where I sit on it, because I think he's been so good at every level he's played that you need to bring him up and try him at that. But if the team is, you know, fighting, then I think I wouldn't do it this year in that case. And, you know, if they make it in game 80 and you have games 81, 82, put them in for both. If, you know, rest both your other guys. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, goalie is one position I definitely don't want to rush.
Yeah.
I think he's a great goalie. He's won at every level. Does his size worry me? Yeah, but
sure,
not any more than I could find with any other goalie with glove speed or whatever. The guy was a winner. He wins at every level.
And I think trying him out at this stage, you know, is exactly what you want to do. I'm not on board at all with these guys saying, oh, trademarks him. First of all, he has no discernible trade value right now at this juncture anyway. But it doesn't make sense to just, you know, toss somebody out the door and expect him to excel at the NHL level, because there's no reason at this point to believe that would happen.
Okay, we know that Markstrom's contract's probably going to get worse in the latter years. So what better way to progress through this? And you see what, you know, Dan Vladar has been a brilliant surprise. And you run with Markstrom and Vladar, obviously, this year and next year, and you kind of see where Wolf fits, and then you got to be making some decisions on Vladar. And then maybe Wolf comes in and Vladar goes out, and we use Vladar as a trade piece. But fast-forwarding this and making a mistake would be catastrophic.
Yeah, not only that, I think it's really poor asset management for people to sit there and say, oh, like, you know, you gotta get rid of Markstrom because that's not feasible right now. The flip side is that if Dan Vladar has played well enough that you think you can get something for him and the team is going into some sort of a phase where it makes sense to have Dustin Wolf on the team, then Vladar is the one you move. Yeah. You know, a lot of fans I find live in this world where it's like, oh, they want to have their cake eaten too. Well, we want to trade the goaltender that's underperforming for anything or to get rid of his contract. Well, you can't do that unless you retain a ton of salary. So to me, it's just this dream-like thinking. It's like when people make trades on their Xbox and they go, oh, I'm going to look at this trade that I made. It's like, yeah, in the real world, that's never going to happen, so give your head a shake.
Yeah. And I do. I honestly believe Markstrom will come back, and heck, he could be our savior down the playoff run. I would. If you told me in April we're talking about Markstrom stealing games in the playoffs, I'd be like, yeah.
I'm going to remember that.
I mean, you
look like a rock star on Flames Twitter if you're right, so I'm going to remember that.
All right. Well, that's you don't forget that one. My predictions don't usually come true, but you never know. You never know.
They're not going to get by me.
No. Back to preview well, this weekend ahead.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
It is All-Star Weekend, probably my least favorite weekend of the year. We'll quickly touch on that. Five Mountain Times Friday night. Skills competition. I have not seen the breakdowns on who's doing what. So we'll have to see on where Kadri lies there. Saturday.
I can tell you that's the only part I'm going to watch of the All-Star Weekend is the skills competition.
Me too, and I probably won't watch the whole thing. I'll probably watch highlights.
Fair enough.
All-Star Game Saturday, 1 Mountain Time, Central versus Pacific, 2 Mountain Time, Metro versus Atlantic, and I'm assuming 3 Mountain Time for the championship. Calgary's lone representative is Nazem Kadri, and you know, that got me thinking last year. Who was our representatives last year? I thought maybe it would be a bunch of them since we were really, really good last year. It wasn't. It was Johnny Gaudreau. That was our only one last year, and I must have been a couple years prior to that when, I believe in St. Louis, we had a couple guys. I think Tkachuk was there. And
In St. Louis, that would have made sense too.
Yeah, for sure. One game to preview. Calgary at the New York Rangers on Monday night. That seems like a long time from now, but that is our next game. So first,
hopefully, Adam Fox with another disallowed goal and a Flame shutout.
I will forever cheer against him. So
won't we all?
First of two meetings between the teams. They play again on February 18th in Calgary. New York Rangers are currently third in the Metro with 62 points, points in 8 of their last 10 is the best way to put that.
Yeah.
So, pretty hot.
Bit of a streak for sure. Yeah, be a good test.
Who do you start coming in? Markstrom, Vladar.
Oh, Vladar. Vladar. I give Markstrom a little bit more of a break. Try him later in the week.
God, I know. That's a tough decision, though. It is.
We'll be texting about it on Monday, I'm sure.
I know we will. You know what? You put Markstrom in, and he steals the game. It just starts everything off good again. You know, so I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not sure where we go with that, but I don't know. Vladar is probably the safer of the two as far as choices go. On next week's show, Kyle and I are going to be talking about the return to Madison Square Garden for that game, of course. And then we're going to talk about trade deadline. We're a month away from NHL trade deadline. What should the Flames do? Who should they go after? Kyle and I will give our take on who we think the Flames should go acquire, or if they should acquire anybody. That will be the discussion. Check us out on flamesunfiltered.com. Kyle, have a great week. Enjoy the rest of your break, and I will try too.
You as well. We'll be in touch.
Flames fans, enjoy the week. Enjoy the All-Star weekend. And you know what? Time away from the hockey arena. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Monday night is the Flames' return against the Rangers. We are back next week for more Flames talk, Flames Unfiltered. Have a good week, Flames fans. Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The wind calls, play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.